For 20 years after Pound's death, Olga lived alone in the Hidden Nest. Scholars, reporters, and friends kept coming, and Olga welcomed many of them, serving tea, engaging them in lively conversation, and concluding nearly every point she made with the word, "Capito? Understood?" Her sole mission, as she saw it, was to tend Ezra Pound's eternal flame and to defend him against charges that he had been a fascist and an anti-Semite. Not an easy task, given his pro-Mussolini broadcasts during the war and the constant anti-Jewish ravings in his letters. Despite her age, Olga was determined to continue living in Venice, even if it meant living alone. She treasured her independence. Mary, who was 3 hours away in the Tyrolean Alps, was therefore relieved when Philip and Jane Rylands befriended Olga and took a special interest in her welfare. They were young, bright, influential, and obviously respectable. Their attachment to the Guggenheim, which was virtually around the corner from Calle Querini, was doubly reassuring. Jane and Philip Rylands doted on Olga. They looked in on her every day, took her to dinner, invited her to parties, ran errands for her, made sure the grocery shopping was done. In 1983, Jane organized a seminar at the Gritti Hotel entitled Ezra Pound in Italy, featuring talks by 3 generations of Pound's other family, Olga, Mary, and Mary's son, Walter. 2 years later, Jane arranged for a gala 90th birthday party for Olga, also at the Gritti. There was nothing Jane and Philip Rylands would not do for Olga. In the winter, they brought firewood from the Guggenheim and mopped up Olga's ground floor after it had been flooded in high water. If any problems arose, a leak, a stopped-up drain, a blown fuse, Olga knew that Jane Rylands could be counted on to take care of things quickly and efficiently. In time, however, there were signs that Jane Rylands' care of Olga had begun to verge on control. In 1986, Olga offered a young American painter, Vincent Cooper, room and board at 252 Calle Querini in exchange for painting a Trump-loyal mural of arches and columns on the ground floor. Olga wanted the mural as a reminder of one that had been on the walls when she and Pound lived there before the war. It had been removed when the house was sequestered. Cooper would live on the top floor in what had been Pound's studio and Mary's childhood bedroom. "The morning I moved in," Cooper told me, "Mrs. Rylands arrived at the house and came stomping up the stairs and made it very clear she didn't want me there. She walked toward me with her arms folded and looked me square in the face and told me I was in the home of a major 20th century literary figure. There are very important objects in the house," she said, "and if anything were to go missing, you're the one who'll be blamed for it, and I don't think you'd want that."